riesiges Jubiläum im dänischen Bettenlager mit gigantischen Angeboten. Zum Beispiel auf viele Markenmatratzen jetzt bis zu 53% Rabatt. 53%! Dänisches Bettenlager. Qualität sehr preiswert. Don't try to run, don't try to hide.
What's up, Fool Podcast? Welcome to the What's Up, Fool Podcast with Felipe Esparza, Rodrigo Torres.
Yeah, man.
And sometimes Lisa over here.
Sometimes.
Right here chilling.
Fact checking.
Give us some question, lady.
No, please.
I have no questions.
All right.
Question number 5, 6.
What's up, everybody? Upcoming show this weekend, March 30. Austin, Texas at Paramount Theater. This show is sold out. Unless you come by yourself, there will be a ticket for you.
Yeah, there's a few single tickets left.
You're a solo vino.
But like under 20 tickets left or something like that.
Third wheel style?
March 31st, Atlanta, Georgia at the Variety Playhouse. Only 200 tickets left. So you better hurry up and get those tickets.
ATL.
There's more than 200. So.
Okay, so then hurry up, man.
Yeah.
April 5th. Fayetteville, Arkansas at University of Arkansas. That's a free show.
Fayetteville.
Anybody around there, man, just show up. It's a free show. Nothing fancy. Just me by myself doing an hour and then leaving after that. April 12th through the 14th, New Brunswick, New Jersey at Stress Factory. Yeah, what's up? New Jersey. Puerto Ricans, show up, please.
Oh.
April 20th, Albuquerque, New Mexico. At the Isleta Resort, May 5th, Thunder Valley Casino in Sacramento area, Lincoln, California. All right. Lots of more dates. Check out FelipeWorld.com/tour for all the shows, dates, ticket links. What's up, fool?
Chilling, dog. How you feeling, dog?
What's up, fool, man? What's up with people talking about? Like, hey, man, we should get together and have dinner before the show, and then all of a sudden they're going to go here to the show.
Yeah. Don't worry, dog. I already ate it.
How about, bro, you leave my food at my hotel room. I take it. You leave. I go eat it.
Yeah, man. Fucking lingers.
Sneaky fools. They don't know all the tricks.
Oh, my God, dude.
Like, I used to do that shit, bro. Hang around with my uncles and my cousins right before they go to Disneyland. See if they take me.
Would they?
Hell no.
Oh, bro, cheap-ass uncle, dog.
Just look at me and go, you can have the rest of the beans and burritos there. All right.
Watch the house.
We'll see you later.
Oh, dude.
How many fools hit you up the last minute?
Dude, a grip of them, dude.
Flacco calling 2 hours before the show.
Oh, my
Sorry,
God.
Sorry, bro. There's no stretcher out here for you.
Hey, you know what killed me at the end of all the shows, bro? Or you hit up Rizzo. You're all right, we'll call Flacco. We're ready now.
After everything was done.
Man.
You have to hang out, bro. We'll hang out after the show.
I know. I want to be at the event.
Man, it goes me and my roommate. How about just you?
I know, man.
Why you got to bring a roommate? I would just say me and my caretaker.
Everyone wants that plus one on top of getting themselves in.
All of a sudden.
I got a little entourage.
He didn't know that the show was been promoted since he was in the fucking hospital.
Says, what, dude?
If you would have come from the hospital and say, hey, can you reserve me 2 tickets? I might be out of the hospital by then. I would have done it.
Yeah.
But 2 hours before the show, get the fuck out of here.
Dude,
I wouldn't give 2 tickets to my mom if she asked for 2 tickets, bro.
I know you won't.
Yeah, I'm making that announcement now that if you haven't reached out to me 3 days before the show, I can't help you. I can't help you.
Sorry.
Because it's just this LA show. I mean, first of all, we put on a hell of a show, okay? And I have to say we because it was a group effort. It was like we had a lot of people on that show. There were a lot of people backstage, and I don't like that. I mean, it was because we had East of the River opening. They were great. And
they had 10 motherfuckers with them.
They were 8 people on stage plus a DJ, 9 people. And then they had like a merch person and like somebody taking photos. And it was like, okay, 11 people backstage in one dressing room. Like, that's hard to control. And they were really cool, though. They were great. And they behaved, you know, like that was their first big show at a theater and stuff. So they weren't sure like what to do. So they were very polite and everything. And Jay was great, very professional, but yeah, it was a lot of, there were a lot of moving parts to that weekend. So all these people blowing up my phone and trying to get tickets in the last minute, including family. And I was like, dude, this is not the time. I don't want to pick up a call. I'm already ignoring calls and emails coming through right now. And I'm trying to like pack and get everything down there, get the merch all set. Like, there's a lot of stuff going on. So no more.
Then we have all these agents, bro, wanting to come besides our agents.
And they want, yeah, like, they want to.
We're with ICM, okay?
But not, and not just that, it's like TV people that want to work with you and stuff. And so they want to come. But Felipe hates meeting with people before the show. Hates it. It throws off your vibe. Yeah, right?
What thing I hate more, bro, is a photo shoot before the show.
You agreed to that ahead of time. I cleared that with you.
But you have to be in your right place.
That photo shoot, man, how motherfuckers were coming inside, bro.
It did, though. It
looked busy.
It was too packed. Nobody could come
in that room, dude. Oh, my God, dude.
But there's always a lot of hangers on, man.
Luis Guzman showed up.
Papa.
Papa was his daughter. Was taller than him. Then he disappeared. We had to find him.
Oh, my God, dude.
Where was he at?
He went to have a seat. He was sitting. He was sitting and watching the show.
He went to the seat. Yeah. But it's like we told him that he's going to bring you up, dog.
Then Jay LaMob solo.
Yo, what's going on, yo?
Luckily, one of the security guards was knew who Louis was. And he was like, oh, he's sitting right over here. I was like, awesome, go get him, please. But it was hard searching for him in the dark and like couldn't see anyway.
And it was a cool-ass last show, too, with him and Russell Peters bringing you up.
Yeah, man.
That was sweet, dude.
Are you done? That's funny when Russell went to go to a bed. And he like, are you done? You finished?
Hey, as soon
you
as
got it out of your head?
Oh, dude. Dude, that fool's funny, dog. As soon as they seen him, they went crazy, though.
Crazy, huh?
Dude, they love that fool. Like, it seemed like he got, not that he didn't get love in New York. Please, he hosted the show.
He got love.
But once they seen him in L.A., it was different.
It was different,
yeah, they weren't
dude.
Expecting it.
L.A., it, like, so. They love all that, like, fucking Carlito's Way shit. All like, dude, that it's shit, like, forget dude. Pachanga, that character.
I think if Luis Guzman were to go up and bring me up in a show in Europe, they would fucking go crazy.
Yeah, yeah. Dude.
Because they love gangster shit.
Bro. Yeah, and he was, like, he was all dressed to the tee. So was Russell, dog. So it was fucking sweet.
That fool had a bag of chocolate ready, bro.
He was cool, though, dog.
Yeah, Russell, Matt's it's so on. Funny. Russell always looks like he could easily, like, go walk onto a yacht and he'd be dressed appropriately.
Yeah, he had, like, those, you know? Like, what, like, Jordan Spearies or something?
But they had, like, wingtip fringe on the top. It was just weird.
Like Thurston Howell.
Yeah, it was, like, a nice
those shoes
sweater,
are no
like,
joke, though.
Oh, dude, those shoes are probably, what, $2,500
yeah,
or something?
I have no idea. A couple thousand bucks, for sure.
I'll be taking, if I had those shoes, bro, you only see those shoes on stage and on carpet.
Oh, yeah, totally.
I know, see
he had that, like, you know, that sweater he had. Like, I don't know.
Well, he probably writes it off.
Oh, please. Huh?
Of course he writes it off.
Like fucking hip-hop.
Every entertainer needs to write off their clothes.
There was so, Mr. Rogers. Everybody was trying to squeeze in the marijuana brand to you, huh?
Oh, my God, dude. Shout out to Backyard Extracts, by the way. No, they were actually really
they
good.
They got to you.
They don't know that we don't smoke the same.
Yeah.
Shout out to E-Zone. E-Zone.
How was that stuff? You liked it?
Which one?
That Backyard Extra, those joints?
Oh, yeah, it was good. Yeah. It smelled like...
It smelled good right
some
away.
Some bud I got a long time ago, bro, in New York, when me and Gabriel were going around all these little bodegas asking, and we found that. And that stuff smelled like something we got a long time ago from your dude, too.
Okay, hell yeah.
You remember smells of weed.
Yeah, I do,
like
man.
Little, like, they come back. Like, somebody will have that strain, that seed, and it'll mix it perfectly, or it'll be that one.
The only one I recognize is Sour Diesel, because I can't stand it, but because I got so sick off
maybe
of
it. Maybe it
I
was
never thought
Sour
that,
Diesel.
I never thought that was good, that bomb-ass weed.
Sour Diesel, like, I feel like they, right before they give it to you, they put an orange peel in it, so it can smell like orange.
Oh, hell yeah, dude. They do that shit a lot, dude.
Somebody told me that back then in the old days, they used to fake Thai bud.
Yeah, fool, they would just wrap it around
the fake-ass stick.
Wet, and then it'll dry that way.
Yeah. Fool about to get punched, dog.
Yeah, because you can tell because the branch of the marijuana leaf, it's not like a circle, dude. It has a little...
Dude, man.
What's up, fool?
Fucking the guy from East of the River, they killed it, huh?
Yeah, dude.
I didn't even know that I knew half their family.
Yeah, dude. And you know, what was cool, I mean, I'm going to burn that last story you were telling, but... That one about a homeboy shooting.
Dofies.
Dude, that was a badass story. And then the second night when you told it, that night, dude, that fucking shit like was crazy.
It was crazy though, like I never forget that I was doing stand up, but undercover. Like nobody knew I was doing stand up. I just came out of rehab. And I would go do the stand up with the first time I went with Rodney Enos, bro. Damn. Shout out to Rodney, man. If you're in Arizona, Pima Papago all the way. He was my sidekick. I didn't want to go alone. He drove with me to the gig, and then I killed it. And then another time I went with another guy named Ruben. Shout out to Ruben. And then I took it going with different people. Then I started bringing more people to the open mic. Then it became like everybody from the projects after the open mic. Because they wanted to come. They weren't doing shit, dude.
Right.
So, and then one night, there was a comedy contest at the Acapulco restaurant on Hollywood Boulevard and La Brea, I think, or whatever it was. And I needed heads. I wanted to win $100. So I called the fool named Dolphies, Rodolfo Nunez, I guess. No, not Nunez. He'll get mad.
Miranda, I think.
Miranda.
Right?
I don't know. Miranda is
his dad.
I forgot his name, but his last name. But that fool showed up. They were like 60 deep, bro. All in the same car. Hog. You know that fool that was here? We had his brother here. Young? Milani.
Milani.
Milani's brother showed up. His little brother. And I won, dog.
Hell yeah.
Then that fool, that was like the... It's funny, like I was beginning to do stand-up comedy. These guys were still gangbanging, you know, whatever. But that was cool that... For a little while, we were going the same way, you know. Like, they never been to a comedy show, but they were following me around because I told them it's fun. There's a lot of comedians.
All exciting and shit.
Yeah, but it was new, bro. They got hooked. They got really hooked.
They liked it?
They liked it. So they kept going every week with me, and then I won that contest. Then when I would start doing I would start doing Latino Night at the Laugh Factory, I would give Homeboy Industry a bunch of tickets. They would show up in a van.
Back in the boomer days?
Yeah. But the way I ran into... Well, before all that, I was a loser, bro.
You mentioned that, dude.
And I used to get almonds. I used to sell fake dope, 42s. That's worse than robbing somebody by hand by gunpoint, bro. You're like really robbing them. So I would show up at like 2 or 3 in the morning, and I would get my little almonds, my little diamond almonds, and I would, with the razor blade, I would shave all the brown peel out of the almond. And I would cut them like they're real dope.
Little
and
rocks.
Then I would dip them in a little jar full of ambasol. I let it sit there, you know, let that shit dry. Then I put more. Then I put them in a little bag. And then, like, I would serve those fools, bro. Because nobody was around. So if somebody wanted 20, bro, I'll give you 2 of them, dog. So, you know, like, and I was playing on their green, too.
That's how it works. That's the only way it works.
My fake dope would not work if these fools weren't greedy, right? So if they want 460, I will give them 80. If they wanted 20, I will give them 40. If they wanted 60, I will give them 200, bro.
Wholesale.
Yeah. And they will bite it, bro. They'll just put it in their mouth without the crackheads who didn't know what's up. They would just put it in their mouth and go,
So
it starts numbing right away. This motherfucker thinks it's cocaine. So I was doing that. Every time I would do that, I could only do that one night. Because those fools always come back shooting everybody, bro.
They're just pissed, huh?
They're pissed.
They couldn't get high.
Imagine, bro.
They got jacked.
You brought that dope to your house, and you live in Glendale, or you live in Monterey Park, Whittier, Rosemead. Then you fucking put that shit on a crack pipe.
Can you imagine?
And then you fucking taste peanut butter, bro.
The oil starts bubbling.
Think about it. It'll work with fake beer, fake weed, fake Nike, a fake watch.
Oh, dude.
Motherfucker sells you a joke that belongs to fucking Diamond Rivera. I never heard of it.
Oh my god, dude.
Anyways, man, no. So that my brother got somebody, my brother Angel, he was doing that one night, but then he went back and they shot my homeboy Chivo in the arm, bro. Oh,
they had to get someone, dog.
They shot that fool, dog. He just fucking threw his hand out, bah, and the fool drove away.
They had to get someone for that.
So that night, I was slanging the fake dope, bro. I have 40. But then these dudes showed up, and they were buying dope all day, real dope. But this time, I guess they were sad. They were down and out. Uh-huh. So those fools said, give me 40. So I was going to give them like that. I opened my hand, and that fool took out a gun, and he said, give it to me. And I said, oh, shit.
Oh, so he jacked you, trying to jack you.
So I couldn't let him taste that shit and find out it was fucking peanut butter. He'll shoot me right there.
Almonds.
Almonds. Yeah. So... I pretended I got scared. I just dropped it and put my hands up. And that shit fell on the floor. And then when he's looking down, my friend Rodolfo was coming out of the house eating a breakfast burrito, dog. And I knew that fool had a fucking a 38 Colt, like a 38 gun. And then I just looked at him and goes, hey, man, shoot these fools. They're all here trying to rob us. So that fool saw that guy's gun and he saw the car. And then that fool ran to the car with the dope and some real money that I had. And started shooting at the fucking car, bro. Pow, 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 pow. Like at 6 in the morning.
Those fools drove.
Kids are going to school and shit. People are going to work. People starting off their day, bro. We're still fucking up in 2 days. So that fool eating a burrito, bro. Biting a burrito and shooting,
while
dog.
While he's shooting.
Multitasking.
Like it's part of his routine, bro. And this is part of his lifestyle. So anyway, so I'll never forget that, you know, because I could have had him killed, you know, for something. It was all my fault.
Or got yourself killed. Yeah, fuck. So,
and that guy was cool, bro. Him and I used to wrestle, dog. When we were little kids, we were all into a WWF.
Your foxcatcher over
that here. Fool put on his black sweats, his fucking Nike Cortez and the beanie.
So yeah, King Kong
like,
Bundy?
We used to call him, he was like the burglar wrestler or whatever. But that was not even his nickname, but he did
Larceny.
And then I would go home, bro, and I put my sweats on and my underwear over my sweats so it looked like I'm wearing a fucking wrestling outfit. And then my brother Angel, he was like a dirty motherfucker, bro.
Bob Backman.
Dirty motherfucker. My brother will put his fingers through he'll get a jalapeno,
oh,
and he'll put it in his fingernails, bro, all over his fingernails and his fingertips. And then when he wrestles with somebody, he'll put his finger in their mouth or their eyeball. And he was dirty,
your
dog.
Your brother's always been a dirty motherfucker. Yeah.
Preparing for war my brother all the time.
Was an illegal move.
My brother wrestling with somebody, and like, he would you know, like some, you're waiting for somebody to tag you. My brother would like fart instead of a sandwich bag, close it, then run up to the wrestler's homie and put it in his mouth.
Oh.
So that dude, Dolphies, he'll start the fight, go, listen, man, motherfucker, there's no more jalapeno juice in the eye, no fucking farting.
Look at ref.
And then he'll look at me and shit, you can't be fucking breathing on him, you're bad breath. Because I'm eating like a lot of garlic, dog, or something. Yeah, then like there'll be this black dude named Damon. I have musty ass underarm, bro. That fool just put his face on you. Dude. Real shit, dog.
That's the kind of those are all the moves that you only know if you have brothers.
Oh, absolutely, especially cousins.
Yeah, like male kids that you have. That'll
be because you don't want to hurt nobody with a real figure four leg lock. What's up, fool?
Oh my god,
man. We got Frank Castillo right here.
Hey, yeah, man.
You're a store regular?
No, not yet. I just work at the store.
This motherfucker not a regular store regular. The other guy here walking around gets in because the fuck he does social media.
I love Brent.
Wow, man. This fucking, his name is running in the front, bro. Just he does social media. I remember before, back in the day. That's funny, man. The old comic always say that shit. Man, back then, man, they would never pass a guy like that. You need an hour of material.
Yeah, you had to like keep switching it up, right?
You gotta be friends with Tommy.
Oh yeah, you gotta sell Tommy weed. Remember?
Hell yeah!
Or give him guitar lessons.
I would give that fool fist bump to put me up. Everybody talks bad about Tommy, but he took care of me.
He did. He was nice to me. He
was good with good people. You know, like if you're like up on stage talking shit about Tommy, that's strike one.
You got three.
True.
That's strike one. Mentioning anything that has to do with a comedy store on stage is strike one, bro.
Mm-hmm.
Because I remember there was a sign in the back before they got it all nice with couches.
Mm-hmm.
It said, please, no to comics, no jokes about smoking weed in the back.
Oh, really?
Because everybody would do jokes about, man, I was hanging out in the back smoking the weed with Dom Herrera. You know, and it's killing the scene.
Anyways. Putting people on blast.
So you work there?
Yeah, I work there. I'm a door guy still there. I answer the phones, check IDs, and then on the weekends I go and do shows. Yeah, it's fun, man. I absolutely love it. Tommy was actually me and Jay Light were the last two door guys Tommy hired.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Black t-shirts or white?
Black t-shirts.
You have to have the white one.
Oh, really? No way.
Oh, I threw it away. No, I had the white. Me and Gabriel Iglesias, we had the white fucking security guard t-shirts.
You guys used to work there?
Yeah.
I never knew that.
Well, Gabriel got fired immediately.
Oh, wait, why did he get fired?
1 week. He didn't want to go up the ladder. And he kept doing shows on the main room and the ballet room when he was supposed to watch the door.
You know what's funny? He probably started the thing that at the store, like that's, everyone at the store does that now. Like the store, especially if they're like a manager.
They got mad at me too because I was blocking the main room door from the ballet room. And then I think one of the just joking people, Esai.
Oh, yeah.
He had a show and he goes,
Esai McGraw, yeah.
he goes, hey, man, you got, what's up? Somebody didn't show up. He goes, hey, man, you want to go up and do a quick five? Yeah, but I watch you this door. Man, fuck that. Nobody's going to come in. This is my room. And then he goes, so I went up there, did the 5 minutes. But I have a little t-shirt, but my t-shirt, so I have to take it off and then flip it around. Then they do come around, Duncan, I don't know his name.
Some Duncan. Other guy.
You go, hey, man, why you do that instead? Oh, man. Well, I can't even do comedy, but I don't fucking sit here in a fucking security guard.
I need to be, though.
Then you want me to go up and do the names? Fuck that, dude. I want to go up there and fucking do the names.
That's the scariest thing, climbing that goddamn ladder.
I seen that little rickety-ass ladder, huh?
So I lasted longer than Gabriel, bro. And then there was other comedians that were passed but never went again.
Yeah, you see that, too.
They just can't. I don't know, man. Just it is that, you know, I come from a background of I need to get work and I need to get paid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just can't be the smallest guy in a totem pole. Mm-hmm. But I would go call in for spots, but I would always show up and get my spots. And my name is still up there.
Fuck
and, yeah. And my name, my four, my 8x10 is in the OR.
Yeah, it
bald
is.
Bald head, right into Gabriel's shirt.
He has like a cardigan on, right? Like a sweater vest.
Gabriel's photo, like his 8x10s were done by a homie. So they did it in at the recreation park. So Gabriel like this. In front of the swimming pool sign.
The one where he has braces on?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
That's when he was going through a sweater mode.
A sweater phase, dog.
What's up, man? Hey, man, did you guys know that What's Up Fool is now on Spotify? Yeah. We've been waiting for this for a while. Spotify is making it easy for you to stream this podcast and many others like it on your mobile service, desktop, or smart speakers. Open the app. Click on the browse channel and then click on the podcast section. Take us with you wherever you go. Thanks to Spotify. That's it, bro.
Yeah, man.
What's up, fool?
Chilling, dog.
What's up, Frank?
What's up,
from
man?
From San Jose.
Yep.
Born and raised.
Yep, born and raised East Side San Jose.
That's where Birdman baptized you?
Yeah. Yo, Birdman and my father. Dude, Birdman and my father are so fucking close. Dude, this is how funny it is. Like, the comedy community in San Jose, they all know my father. They all know Birdman. And, like, because my dad is, like, a huge Dodgers fan. Like, he's the only guy in San Jose that walks all around all Dodgers gear. Yeah,
everybody's all about.
Yeah, everyone gives him weird looks, and they're always trying to fight him and shit. And he's like, no, I just love baseball. But every mic he goes to is at like a bar, and like I remember when I'd take him and he'd be like, oh, I've been to all of these places, and Birdman was there and they met, and he's like, oh, I know your father, and they fucking go way back.
Really?
Yeah, it's so fucking hilarious.
That's fucking comedy. I didn't even know you knew Birdman.
Yeah, he's amazing. He's kind of like an uncle. It's weird. It's the weirdest thing. Like, anytime, like, I'll go do a show somewhere in San Francisco or the Bay Area, like, Birdman will just show up, and I'm like, oh, shit, hey.
What's going on, bro?
He actually, Birdman is, I owe him a lot because I remember the finals for the roast battle, my dad was going to come down, and then, like, his ride fell through with his lady, and Birdman just called him, was like, hey, I'll pick you up, we're going to L.A., just come with, and they drove, Birdman drove my dad down.
In a Lamborghini.
Yeah, in a Lamborghini.
Shut up.
No.
Birdman found a ride to give somebody else.
Yeah. A ride. Isn't that crazy?
But yeah, then so I got to hang out with my pops during the finals, and that was like a cool thing. And it was funny. Just, it was perfect. And, you know, comedy community, man.
Hell yeah, man.
Birdman's everywhere, huh?
I didn't even know
Birdman stayed, can't wait to come down May 4th for the world premiere of Taco Shop. And I'm like, I didn't even know the world premiere.
You didn't even know there was a premiere. I found out through Birdman's post.
Yeah, he's setting it up.
Yes, meet and greet, bro.
Yeah, Taco Shop. By the way, you didn't mention this last week. There's a movie, Taco Shop, that you did years ago.
Years ago.
7 years ago.
So yeah, when I do an interview now, people ask me, Felipe, any projects coming out? Yeah, I have movies that are going to come out 7 years from now.
Yeah, there's a lot of, there was some financing fell through and all this stuff, so they never finished it. But now it's finished. It's got Tyler Posey from Teen Wolf. It's got
George Perez,
Johnny Sanchez,
Rick Najera,
the guy, Captain Obvious, right? The guy from those Captain Obvious
commercials.
Oh, yeah. He's a good actor.
Yeah, he's a great
actor. And the guy from, and then the girl from Scary Movies.
Yeah, Jai Parker.
Oh, Ty Parker?
Jai Parker.
Okay.
Jai Parker or something like
that. She's in it.
Eric Robertson as well?
Eric Robertson. He's an old man Bill or something like that.
Yeah, I think he works at the restaurant.
Right? You know, I've done two movies with Eric Roberts.
Damn, that's cool, dude.
The first one, we've been in one scene together, and then he was in that movie like for one day. He's like a day player, dude.
Hell yeah, dude.
Those guys make money.
Eric Roberts, bro, he's like he's a great actor, and like he might did all those drugs back in the day, but he's still focused, dude. Like he knows the tools of acting. Like you can learn a lot. Eric Roberts can have no lines in the scene, and he pretty much can fuck you over with no lines. And even you can have a whole monologue, and Eric Roberts will just fuck you up with two lines.
Yeah, dude, it's insane. He's legendary.
He's good, dude. He's really good. Like he just gonna look at the scene, and he knows. Okay, and then he talks about it to write down all the words in a big old placards because he can't see.
Oh,
reading the lines, the cue card, reading the lines, he does it good, dude. Like I never forget, man. I always gotta talk about it, but I did a movie where I play a cook, a waiter, washing dishes named Jose, named Felipe, and Eric Roberts plays the only scene, the owner manager of a restaurant, and the scene is a woman is late, the star of the movie.
She's a waitress.
She's a waitress. She's late, and she should have been here like hours ago. And I'm washing dishes, and then he looks at me, and he just looks at the scene, and Eric Roberts goes, And then he goes, all right. And he goes, Felipe, what's up? And he goes, what's up, man? All right. We shake hands. Action. And then Eric Roberts starts walking around. He goes, where the fuck is she at? And he goes, Felipe, give me a fucking rag. And I throw a wet rag at him. And he starts wiping on the table fucking mad, bro, because he has to do it. She's not there. He's the manager. That's what a manager should be doing. So he's fucking scrubbing real hard, pissed off, getting into the fucking scene. Cut. They gave him his check. He went home.
Went and shot another movie, right? Yeah. He had to shoot like two movies that
nobody
day.
Nobody told no direction, bro. He didn't know direction. He didn't know. He just knew that, I'm a manager. This bitch is late. I know if I was a manager, I have to wipe down this table myself because only me and Felipe. And Felipe needs to be washing the fucking dishes. So him and I started talking. Go, where the hell is she? I don't know, man. She should have been here an hour ago. I know, man. And then he goes, like, in the rack, start fucking scrubbing and talking shit. Then she comes in and he attacks her, and that was it, dude.
Kills the scene.
That's crazy.
It's like killing two spots in one day, huh?
Yeah, that scene. Then he after that, he goes to another role somewhere else as a different character. So he did like three movies in one night, one day.
Yeah, there's this documentary that came out. I can't remember what it was called, but it was literally just about like
background
characters and stuff. Like Guzman?
Luis Guzman.
Yeah, he's amazing. But they just kind of talk about him too, where he's like they pointed out all the movies he's been in. So there's like 20 just actors that are like in everything, but they're always in just like
I think
it's
called Those Guys. Or Those Guys, like
yeah,
that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so good. But it's like you're like, oh, those guys really do steal the scene. Mm-hmm.
And they don't have any, and I think that's why people love working with them, because they don't need any direction. They just come on. They know where to go. They know how to start in and out.
Yeah, there was like a thing in the documentary where it was they were talking to Guzman, and he was just like, when he goes out for roles, they actually have like specifically his name looking for this type. And he's just like, that's me.
Yeah.
That's crazy, huh?
The one at Pachanga, papi.
Yeah, papi.
Yo, that's how we do it.
Man, at least I went to the documentary. Movie I was in, but I never got to see it. And they were talking to Isai Morales.
Oh, yeah.
And that fool did all his Latino accents at one time. From Dominican to Puerto Rico to a Dominican in New York to a Dominican to a Puerto Rican and
Cuban. Puerto Ricans, and then Mexican.
Then Chicano.
And then the Chicano sound versus the Mexican sound versus, he flowed one into the other. It was amazing.
He's badass.
Dude. Rodrigo over here only got James Gandolfini.
That's right. Absolutely.
Oh, whoa.
give some Gandolfini.
Yeah, give me some Gandolfini.
They were asking for it, bro.
Yeah, how you doing, Frankie?
Oh, my God, Gandolfini. I love your movies.
Thank you very much. I love yours as well.
What's up with people, bro, getting all into the pod? You have a podcast, Frank?
I have a podcast. I do it with Moses and Coach T. It's called Verbal Violence. We talk about the roast battle. And then I have my own that I'm dabbling with. It's called Village Idiot. Yeah, I interview like my pops, my mom, and like a lot of my family members right after roast battle. And they just tell me a bunch of crazy stories of when they were growing up. Especially my father.
Were these the first podcast you started, or you started many podcasts?
This is the first one. Village Idiot was the one that I just did myself. And then Verbal Violence is just the one that me, Moses, and Coach, and Pat Barker now do.
Could we have friends, man, like Marcho Rizzo? Like, the motherfucker started his 10th podcast.
He does. He was like three.
That was Scared by the Bell or something?
No, Squad by the Bell.
Saved by the Squad.
Or Squad by the Bell.
Saved by the Squad.
Saved by the Squad. And now he has Rizzopedia.
Rizzopedia. What does Rizzo know? Okay. I'm not calling Rizzo stupid.
You're going to put ketchup on fries.
He's young and inexperienced. Like, how is he Rizzopedia?
I feel like here right now, Ross ought to fucking give you the biggest laugh in the world right now.
That's why I got to listen. You got to tune in, see what he's going to talk about.
It should be called What Does Rizzo Know?
I know diddle.
Diddly squat.
Rizzopedia is just Rizzo looking up stuff on Wikipedia.
Just reading off the page.
What's baseball? What's the history of baseball? Let me check. Here you go.
Going through all the tabs.
Titties!
No, we love Rizzo, but yeah.
Oh, Rizzopedia is
too much.
Oh, my God.
Dude. They didn't do the other podcast with Hanging Time with Nick?
Yeah, Hanging with Nick and Johnny,
I think
right?
It's called Time. I think it's called Time, right? Or, yeah.
Man, that fucking podcast tripped me out when Nick started a podcast telling us what time it is in London.
Hello, welcome to Heathrow.
No, it starts off in London. It is 4:25. Started looking around, man. I want to know smoke what this fool's smoking.
That was the podcast?
You know, it started off like that. Oh. Like, I didn't get it, man. Oh, not Nick and Time, so he gives you the time.
It's Time with Nick and Johnny, I think it was called.
Okay.
I didn't know they told the time.
It's like I was starting with the story with in San Paulo, Veracruz, ahora está las 7 de la mañana.
What time is it in
What's up, fool? What's up, Frank? What made you come out here to LA? When did you come out here?
I moved here when I was 23, and that's I moved here for comedy. Because I moved to, I lived in San Jose until I was 17, and then I moved to Temecula, California when I was a senior in high school. So that was like a huge culture shock for me.
Oh, damn, it
was like,
Temecula?
Yeah, man, all conservative, desert, bro. All white people. There was like a border patrol station right there. So it was like, especially coming from like the city, especially like Eastside San Jose, it was like, I had to like, I felt like I couldn't like, you know, be myself. Like, I had to like kind of like keep it low key.
Yeah, that's a mean cookie cutter town. Right
yeah,
now.
It was very interesting. They had their set views on like Mexicans and border patrol. It was very interesting.
You were living there during a big protest, huh?
Yeah. Yep. It was fucking very funny to be like, yeah, you guys fucking won against kids. You know what I mean? Like, you sent a bunch of kids back. Like, way to be real proud about it.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
That was a big one, right? Lupio Rivera
yeah,
was there.
Yeah, he showed up there fighting them.
Yeah,
it was crazy.
I don't understand those when people start arguing like that. You know, you got the people like whatever, like build a wall, go back to Mexico. Then you got the other fools fighting for the other side. A bunch of people arguing, bro. They're not gonna settle nothing but just fucking having
exactly.
a fucking
no.
sign. It's gonna happen, bro.
It's all policy that's fucking
Congress
decided
will settle
by
for you guys, man.
Somebody has nothing to do with it.
And you have people Lupio over there talking, yelling at white people. I pay more taxes than you guys make. Like nobody cares.
Yeah.
I think he just wanted to sell tickets that weekend.
Yeah, bro. His album came out 2 weeks later.
Yeah, there you go.
But
yeah.
He cares, you know.
He was down. You know what I mean? At least he went over there. You know
I think the idea is that the protests will fuel the policy. You know, try to get in. These Congress people's ears and try to get them to push the agenda. But protests these days are really sad.
Yeah,
and lame.
I can't. My friend.
It changes, right?
Like, yeah.
Well, it's multiple. There are multiple things going on.
There's not one unity. Like when it was like for the civil rights, you knew it was civil rights. Right. There was nobody there holding a sign.
Yeah.
Legalized
also, like,
weed.
Legislation was trying. They were trying to pass legislation for the civil rights. So
everything's all fragmented now.
Yeah, it's very, very interesting. And it's always like my white friend who always comes out to me. He's like, "You're not going to go to the march." I'm like, "No, you can go to the march. I'm going to stay home because I don't want to get in trouble."
I don't understand too when they tell you, you go march? Nah, bro. If I go march, it'll ruin anything. We need more white people to march, eh? How about you white people march for us? We'll stay home.
Yeah.
People, and then you guys get beat up for us. You know, and then people notice, oh, fucking white people getting beat up for Mexicans on TV. We got to put a stop to this.
This ends now.
Yeah, man. You really, really want to protest for us, Mexicans? You stay in the front lines. We'll be in the back.
Quite frankly, I think
you got to get beat up first, man.
People just got to protest at the voting booth, dude.
Yeah, that, I mean, that's really what
local
it is.
Local representation like, to statewide, and then, you know.
Just got to go out and vote, man.
And people always talk about, hey, bro, I'm going to do more political jokes, bro, because I want to sell tickets. I'm not a political comedian, bro. I don't give a fuck.
No.
I mean, I do give a fuck, but, you know, what can I do? I'm one man.
Yeah. It's also like, you know, I've always struggled with that, too, where it's like, someone had told me, they're like, you're kind of beating people on the head with one subject. And I was like, you know what? You're right. And it's like, people come out because they want to have fun.
Right.
And that's the whole thing. And it's like, because if you start doing, like, super political comedy, like, you alienate one half of the
audience. Yeah, where you have an agenda and you have, like, an angle. Yeah. That's where it's bad.
Yeah,
I think you can poke fun at both sides. And that's
but
cool.
has to be funny,
yeah.
too.
Has to be funny.
It has to be funny. You know, all right. It's, but it has to, for me, I gotta die, bro, exactly. laughing. Like when yeah. George Carlin would do it, I'll have mm-hmm. to fucking laugh hard.
Yes.
I don't want to be thought provoking when I'm going, hmm, good
yeah, yeah.
point.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't want
class
that. Dude.
Lecture, dude.
That's a lecture. Yeah.
Like you're trying to change the world. I just want to make people laugh.
Yeah. It'd be all like fucking homeboy, fucking Bill Maher and shit. It'd be fucked.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Whenever I see, I remember I saw him.
He's
in the
cool and all, but goddamn.
He's great, but it's also, you get to see, like, once you do that kind of comedy all the time, you just have that set audience.
Right, right.
And then it's like, you're
kind of. And they're kind of like a people like that watch, like, Fox News. It's yeah. like their followers, they just agree with everything yeah, that comes yeah. out of the tunnel, dude. Yeah, it's yeah. like, come on, man.
Like, think
a little bit.
I went with Bert Kreischer to Indianapolis, and they had, like Klan members came out. Like, not like. Because they're like fans of Bert. Well, I guess they were, but they just happened to be Klan members. But like, but you could just tell because the way they carry themselves yeah. and like just the way they laughed at certain jokes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But like, and I remember like looking at them and I was like, oh fuck! Like I was kind of scared. And then after the show, they came up to me and they were like, you were so funny. We loved you. Blah blah blah. And they like made Mexican jokes and stuff. And I was like, oh, you guys, like. It was like it was such a weird thing for me because I was like, oh, I don't know how to like take this.
You
like,
know they were Klan members.
You can see the tattoos.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and also like certain people hold like you can kind of tell like way certain people carry themselves. You're like, oh yeah, you're very very much like that, which is fine. But yeah,
got a little shaved head with the iron yeah, cross
yeah,
on
yeah,
his throat.
You're like, oh shit.
SS.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They look dirty.
No, they were very clean.
The teeth were bad.
No, they were clean.
The leadership class.
They have that Wu-Tang smile?
Yeah. No, they did not have the Wu-Tang smile. That Wu-Tang smile. Oh,
that
my God.
You had one tooth on top and the other on the bottom.
Couldn't even whistle.
Oh, God. Do you hear Jeff Sessions is going to get that Wu-Tang album?
Yeah.
It's crazy. I don't know what's going to happen to it. Because Martin Shkreli, the government took all the stuff and yeah.
What are they going to do with it? They're just giving it to him?
It's up to him. I think he has to decide whether it's going to go back to Wu-Tang or if they're going to try to auction it off or what.
Wu-Tang sold it though, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't get it. What happened?
It was this rare album that guy Martin Shkreli, the guy who raised the price, bought that AIDS drug and raised the price.
Yeah, to $795 yeah. pill.
He was just put in prison for... Like, really, the rest
yeah,
of his
not,
life.
Yeah, not
for what?
For tax issues and fraud. And,
wow,
yeah.
Fucking
well, like,
idiot.
Last week.
Yeah.
So he had all, they seized his assets and everything because they're trying to make whole some of these people who lost money. And one of them is this rare Wu-Tang album.
I and the Carter Five
like
that
one
hasn't
copy,
come out yet.
Right? One yeah. copy?
Why does he own it?
Yeah, how the fuck does he have a he copy of the Carter Five that hasn't came out
yet? Yeah, that's crazy, right?
He has tons of money, dude.
Yeah, that's because he's like,
yeah.
How, his fool raised the pill from $60 to $795, dog.
Yeah, and then he bought all the things he couldn't buy when he was a kid.
Fuck, dude. Yeah. He's a poster boy, though. They're getting him for like,
oh, yeah.
Is that for tax evasion or what?
Yeah, it was fraud, I think, more.
They're proving a point. Don't ever go down this road or you're going to end up like this fool.
Yeah, and I think that there is definitely an axe to grind with the guy. Like, no, I think the judge made – the comments that were made were just, like, kind of more personal, you know? Like, you're kind of scum of the earth sort of thing like in the final statement. But, yeah.
Wow, man.
Damn, dog.
That's like what – Man, from that pill cost maybe $60 to $795.
And that wasn't even what he went down for, by the way. Yeah. That was just shitty.
Yeah,
he went that fucking county jail prices, huh?
Yeah.
That's like a joint now costs $100 in the can.
That's
dog.
Like five rums.
Like a spit of heroin, bro, will cost you $200 in prison. You know, out here, what, $10?
Yeah, mm-hmm. You must really want to get high, dude.
Oh, my God.
So you moved out to Temecula. What, you always... What made you come to LA to do stand-up?
The comedy store.
What'd you start off first?
I started in Temecula at the Pechanga Comedy Club, which was just all...
Owned by Louis Guzman, by the way.
Yeah. all very older white people, and it was very interesting to do stand-up there. And then headliners from the store would come and do that club, and then
DJ
we'd start
Cooch.
Talking. Yeah, actually. Yep. Steve Trevino was there, and him and Jesus Trejo were the ones that told me that I should move to Los Angeles and try to get a job at the store. And then that's when I did. And then cool. I got a job at the store, started helping out with Moses, the roast battle, and then...
Started the roast battle, huh?
It was Moses and Real Battle, and then it was...
Real Battle, he's from San Diego, right?
I don't know if he's from,
or
San,
Moses
Diego.
From San Diego.
Moses from San Diego, Real Battle's from LA, I think.
Moses is cool, bro.
Moses is super cool.
I remember, I like telling a story, man. I went to go buy Bud. I didn't want to go buy Bud, but I wanted, I needed Bud. So I know, and I was like, I knew, I told myself, wow, I looked at the whole comedy store and do a bit. They probably put me up. So I called up the comedy store in L.A., and I told them if I could do a guest spot in La Jolla. And this is like a 2009, bro. And I didn't think I had it like that. But I did call the comedy store. He goes, yeah. Eliza Schlesinger is headlining. And it's okay. You could do 5 minutes. So when I get there, I saw Eliza, and she was eating a tamal. And I said, wow, of course you're going to put me up. This is like tamales. So
meat or cheese? No.
Yeah, we were talking, and she's a fan. Yeah. And then I went up. I went up. Some other Asian poaching. I went up, and I did good. And then I met Moses at the doorman. He was a doorman there. And I didn't have all the money. No, I did have all the money, but I couldn't break 100 or something. Then he was really cool about it. He said, just get me later. Goes, but I don't know when I'm going to come back to the comedy store here in La Jolla. But whatever, you know. So I was cool. Fuck, I come back to do a show at the comedy store main room. And then I see him at the comedy store main room door guy. I go, oh, shit, I know you, huh? He goes, yeah. He goes, and I think I owe you money. And I took it all out. And I gave it off to him, whatever I had, plus another 20.
I'm so sweet.
Sorry, bro. I go, I never saw you again. I never forgot about you. I'm so sorry. And I gave him all his cash right there.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Plus another 20, bro, for interest.
For your troubles.
Yeah, but that was cool. But I know that he started that. I know that him and the other guy, when you guys were doing the roast battle, it started off small, huh?
Yeah, in the belly room. It was literally just an open mic, and then it was like a segment that they would do in the middle of the open mic. And it got to the point where everyone would come to see the battle, and then everyone would come and watch it, and then they would leave afterwards. So if you got pulled to do stand-up after that, you would get up on stage and everyone would be gone.
Wow.
So then they realized, they're like, all right, so let's start doing the battles at the end of the mic. And then I got to a point where just regular people started showing up, and then all of the comics were there. And then I got to a point where, like, we had a full audience, like, of people that were just had heard about the show. And then we had to stop doing names out of a bucket, because, like, it get to a point where, like, some kid would put his name in the bucket, get pulled, and be doing stand-up in front of, like, a sold-out crowd, and he'd never done stand-up before.
Oh, wow. Sneaky.
Yeah, so we had to start, like, booking it, and then it just turned into, like, a crazy thing.
What I liked about the Rose Battle, it was that it was all people I never knew.
Mm-hmm.
So it was young comics. Mm-hmm. We pretty much didn't know how to roast.
No.
So you really have to fucking write your jokes, and it helped them write better.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, you get a roast battle with people like me, you know, who can roast a motherfucker in real life without thinking about it. It's not that good, bro. It's better if you see amateurs, you know, do it, and then some of you see them get better. Mm-hmm. Like, that's a Samoan motherfucker. He's pretty funny, bro.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You're thinking Guam?
Guam, yeah.
Guam Felix?
Yeah.
Super funny.
He works the door.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, somebody like that, you know, like, this fool, ain't nobody going to cut this guy a break. You know, but the roast battle helped him motherfucker get notoriety.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He's done, I think he did like 6 battles. And I remember the first few battles, he would like always come up dressed up as something. And it was always so funny. And then he would like do jokes, and sometimes the jokes wouldn't hit. But then the more battles he's done, now he's like, he's a contender. Like his jokes have finally like matched his ability. And now when he goes in battles, it's always at least going to be a great battle. Because then it gets to a point where it's like certain kids go up and battle, and then it's like, all right, one person easily just got whooped. But then it gets to a point where it's like if it's a good battle on both sides, no one really loses because they're both showcasing how great they are. Like there's this girl,
little short lady, right?
Yeah,
Blonde?
Yeah.
Yeah, she's good.
She's great. There's another girl named she's in a wheelchair. She lost her legs. Danielle Perez. She battled this kid named Joe Urel, who's got cerebral palsy. No, yeah, cerebral palsy, and he's confined to a wheelchair.
Yeah, there would have been no parking that day.
Yeah. All the spots are taken. Two of the best battles, two of the best battlers I've ever seen. Like, they were just saying the most crazy stuff about each other, and they're both like handicapped, so like everyone didn't know how to react because they were just like, oh my god, like I don't know if I should laugh at this or not. Like Waka Flocka Flame was there, and he was just mouth open, not knowing what to do. Like Joe said, they call her a cow because she's already lost her calves. It was just something like that, dude. It was great. Yeah, he's great, dude.
Her claim to fame, by the way, was she was on Price is Right, and she won a treadmill.
Yeah.
She has no legs.
Hilarious.
Yeah. She accidentally got her legs cut off by a bus in San Francisco, I think is what happened. Yeah, yeah. She's super funny, though.
Fuck.
She's down here now in
yep,
LA?
Yep, Los Angeles, very funny.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, go ahead. No, go ahead.
When did the Rose General come in and swoop the show?
Yeah, that's kind of what I was going to ask. Rose, like, when did General? It get taken away?
I think he came by.
Just swooped, huh?
No, guys.
Well, he was kind of cool because Jeff came in, I think, about maybe a
when
year.
When it was hot.
Yeah, about a year and a half in. Yeah, because one of his friends was battling and he came in and he saw it. And then, like, him and Moses and Rel talked. And then they were like, all right. And he was very like, let it just kind of grow. So for like a while, it was just kind of like we kind of just figured things out, changed a few things, like made it a little more streamlined. Because when he came in, it was super just raw and literally
just
a lot
of control with the wave, bro. The wave was out of control.
Yeah, the wave was insane.
Back then, in the beginning, the wave was crazy, bro. Sometimes people were just going to see the wave, bro, because what the fuck are they going to do next?
What's the wave?
The wave's Jeremiah Watkins, and
they're like the saga of
Willie Hunter.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
The gags they would do in between were just ridiculous. Dude, there were some famous ones. Like, there was the one, it was like right after one of the terrorist attacks, like a bombing. The next day they came in and they did a joke about it, and then it was just like they did like the bomb effects and they had like props of fake limbs and just stuff. It was ridiculous. Cause like the audience, like, they didn't laugh for like a second, and then they all just started dying because they realized what it was. And then
it's like the Ding Dong Show with brains, bro.
Oh my god! It is. There was one where one of them like had to drink. The one of them drank out of a plunger. Jeremiah Watkins shaved his pubes on national TV.
Gross.
It was some of the best stuff.
So wait a minute. So did this ever get pitched as a TV show or become a?
Did
he do it as a special? Like, what was the?
It was on Comedy Central's Roast Battles, but they were on.
Was it like a series, or was it just like a one?
No, it was two
thing?
Seasons, and then they just did a third season. They did
Was it on the internet first?
We did it on the internet. Like, we did like Periscope and stuff. We didn't do YouTube videos because we just didn't want it to be like. The way Moses kind of said it in the beginning, he was like, we're like the foot, you know? He was like, we're here, but we're not here. And that's kind of how we'd kind of like approached it. And I think that's what also helped kind of get the word out and get people to come, because they're like, have you heard of this thing? It was very word of mouth when it first started.
Did Moses get to be part of the production
Comedy Central? Yeah, yeah. Rel Battle and Ross are all executive.
I thought they were bought out at one time. Somebody told me.
No, I don't think they were bought out. A lot of people were trying to get the show when it first came out. Like, I know like Netflix was looking at it, like HBO and a bunch of other people and stuff. So that was also the crazy thing, was like, there was this time where like all of these executives and like Hollywood people were coming and just watching, and then it's like I'm up there bombing my ass off on like just doing a set, you know, or like losing a battle or like winning one, and then like someone sees me. It was a crazy spot.
They come in there, man, because somebody told them, but they're clueless on what to do with it.
Absolutely.
So somebody else comes in. Oh, okay, we'll do it that way.
That's how Hollywood works. Yeah. They'll see, okay, this is great, but I don't know what to do with it, or I don't know what to do with you, right?
Of a sudden, instead of just saying, I can't do shit, man. I'm just here.
I'm just here to like follow what the last guy did.
I want 10%. I'm from UTA. I'm
warm up the seat.
100% with my beak. I think the way they did it, they just did like a Britain version, and it was not a tournament. It was
You're killing me, mate.
Yeah. It wasn't a tournament. It was just like, you know, they changed the format, and I think that was the best way to do it.
That'd be a funny ass role better than British, huh?
Oh, yeah. It was actually pretty good.
This guy from Scotland Yards, huh?
Like, half the audience would be like, what are these references? Or half the American audience wouldn't understand anything.
Chucking fish and chips at me? I don't know if that's from London.
Have you seen his teeth? What's up, everybody? The Vape Exhale EVO is a high-end vape plus bong combo that was just named High Time number one desktop vaporizer. My listeners get 10% off on the Vape Exhale EVO vaporizer and all the other Vape Exhale products by using promo code FOOL. That's FOOL at vapeexhale.com. There is nothing else out there like EVO. Get big bang for your buck with EVO. It takes way less herb to get you there. The taste is phenomenal. It can be used with both flower and concentrates. Vape Exhale CEO Sabo Shen is a former stuntman and backup dancer that now uses cannabis in his Brazilian jiu-jitsu practice. Sabo is a huge advocate for normalizing cannabis use in today's society. Use promo code FOOL at vapeexhale.com. We tried this thing last week, and it was good.
Oh, yeah. We're
right here to give it to Frank Castillo.
This is the whole reason I showed up today.
Oh, it disappeared, bro. Whatever falls in there, we keep. Nah.
Just it kidding. Went underneath on the floor.
What is this, the vape?
That's the whip for if you want to use this one or you use this one. But here's the actual heat unit.
Yeah, so we put one of these in here.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's already set.
Put all scientific there. And shit.
Do you want to use the whip or you want to use this?
I'll use this.
Right. Just give it a second.
Is there stuff already in here?
Yeah, let
you
it
just
heat
put
up.
The little, these little things have them in there. Have weed in there. So or you could put concentrates in these little glasses.
Yeah, they got, you can put the oil in there and vamonos.
Just drop it in. It's not ready yet.
It's ready.
Oh, well, oh, go there's ahead. A little, yeah.
You got to just take it out like a pipe, like a...
Yeah, yeah.
Take it out like a... Yeah.
Like a bomb.
Okay.
It's
kind of
like
okay.
a bomb and a bong and a vape together.
It's one of the cleanest hits you can ever get.
Yeah?
Let's put it on camera here.
Oh, okay.
Give it up for the vape bomb.
Give it up for the vape bomb.
I need to make it's some sort of sounds, like little musical notes or something.
We need Jay Lamont here to do some bong rips.
Do.
Good, huh?
Ooh, that is good.
Clean, right?
Very clean.
Did you tour with Bert Kreischer? I saw that. I saw yeah. one of his when he was in Indianapolis.
Yeah, yeah.
Who else have you toured with?
I'm really lucky because of the roast battle. I've gotten to tour for like Rogan's taken me out, Bert's taken me out. I've gotten to open for Tom
Segura.
Yeah, Justin Hook took me out. Ran Azizi.
How was it when? Were there more KK people at Joe Rogan's or Bert Kreischer?
Nah, Bert Kreischer. You know, I was so surprised at how many like Mexicans came out for Rogan. It kind of blew my mind. I was like, oh, wait. And he was like, yeah, you know. He's like, they fucking love me. I was like, oh, that's great. Yeah. It was just kind of cool seeing the different kind of audiences everyone has. But also, it was cool to see like people that were actually fans of me. Like, I didn't realize like how cool Roast Battle was because I still very much think of myself as just like a young comic coming up, especially working the door. So whenever I go somewhere new and someone's like, I loved you on Roast Battle or I loved you on this, I'm always just like, oh, shit, that's crazy. And they're like, where can you see you? I'm like, let me check an ID at the store Monday if you want to come by.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, yeah.
That's cool, man. People be listening to what's cracking in the comedy world, dude.
That was also the other weird moment where it was like, you know, working the door, like, especially at the store, everyone's such big comedy fans. So it was like when I'd work the door and it'd be like a sold out night, I'd be checking IDs and like at least 20 people would recognize me. And that was a great feeling, but it'd also be like, I got to like start doing something. You know, like I got to like, I should really start making moves.
And you start to hate your Comedy Store shirt.
No, I will always love that Comedy Store shirt. I wore that on TV. It was great.
I saw you before when I saw you on the YouTube videos. And the roast battle, but then when I saw you on TV, I was like, oh man, what are they gonna put this for? Another Latina.
Yeah.
Then you brought the mariachis, and I was watching that. Oh no. And then you went and goes, I don't play that shit. And it goes, hell yeah, I like when you said that. But I also thought about also because when I was in Last Comic Standing, these motherfuckers trying to put a piñata.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And like, they don't know our culture, bro. Like, they think that we're just mariachis, bro.
Yeah, that's what they said. They're like, we want to put mariachis out for you. I was like, I don't know how I feel about that. I was like, if you put a big Mexican flag behind me, then yes, that's fine. And they're like, all right, cool. Because my grandfather watched it, and my grandfather, like, came from Mexico, and, like, he was his whole thing was like, you know, his American dream was like everyone gets a job, buys a house, lives stable and stuff. So like when I told him I was going to do comedy, he did not fuck with that at all. Like it was bad. He was not.
They don't get it, bro.
He didn't get it at all. But then once he saw me on TV and saw me doing it and then he saw like the flag and all this stuff, like he didn't understand like he was lost in translation, but he understood the importance of it. So then, like, I remember, like, it was like he was on his deathbed, and he was just like, are you still doing stand-up? And I was like, yes, and he was like, good. That was, like, the last thing he ever said to me.
That's cool.
Yeah, it was crazy.
That's cool.
That's awesome, dude. And people try to hit you on the Mexican shit on the roasts? Like, I mean, you know, like, derogatory shit?
Well, I mean, sometimes, but it's also, like, it's what they work with, you know?
Right.
But I've always
always feel that when white people roast, like, when white people are roasting you in a safe environment like that, like a studio,
like a studio
with
security,
you know, a studio, you know, where the ballet room, you know, Joe Rogan's right there, all the white comics are right there. They could easily go for the Mexican derogatory joke. Mm. But in a real roast battle in a parking lot where they might get stalked in the face, they would never go that route, bro. Yeah. That's why white people always have an advantage at a roast battle on TV, because they could get racist without getting punched in the face.
Yeah.
But in real life roast battle, they will never go there, bro. Because they're afraid of that sock to the face, dog. But you know what? But that's where Mexicans and black people have an advantage on roast battles. We will go there.
Oh, absolutely.
We will call you a white motherfucker right away.
Yeah.
But then, and get the laughs.
Yeah.
But on TV, when we come out like that, it comes out angry.
It's tough.
Yeah. It's tough, right?
TV's so tough. Because
if you were to come on and go, call this guy a white cocksucker,
yeah.
Oh, we got a hangry Mexican exactly. over here.
You gotta it when it's on TV. It's like you gotta. You can easily go for the easy joke, but then you also gotta like challenge yourself and go for the tougher joke or write the better joke. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, even if you looked at all the jokes I did against Matthew Bouchard, like I called him a rapist like a million times when he's not, and he just is a good looking guy. You know, so that was kind of like an easy way too. But it's like you just kind of gotta write better jokes because I think you could.
I know, man.
You're
like,
going for the low hanging.
Exactly.
Fruit.
When, no pun intended.
when that guy roasted Ralphie May.
The show should have just
blew up right there and went under the ground and came out of the mushroom.
Oh, yeah.
And the fucking show should have just ended because that was the funniest joke ever.
Mike Lawrence,
you can never come back with that shit like that.
Mike Lawrence is a beast. That was the thing. When he roasted Ralphie, he could have made easy fat jokes, easy low-hanging fruit. But you look at that battle and you like... Dude, he had some of the best jokes. I mean, rest in peace, Ralphie May. We love you to death.
But the hardest part about your divorce was taking out that ring.
He had one where
Ralphie May just called him a hack. You ain't funny.
Yeah. He had one joke against Ralphie. He was like, I'm going to butcher it. But he was just like, calling you fats. I can't even remember. I'm not going to butcher it. But he had some jokes just against Ralphie that were like, this is like a moment that people will always remember. I mean, yeah.
Well, I think also because I think when you have somebody more famous, I like the mixing it up with a famous person or a seasoned comic and the newer comics. Because those seasoned comics might come in not even really trying, not thinking that they have to prepare.
You know what
I mean? A little cocky. I can hang. I can handle this. You know, I'm not afraid of these guys. These guys aren't even experienced, but it's not. You know, these guys, they're hungry.
Yeah, and that's
the worst
part.
They're hungry to beat this professional right
they
here.
They got something to prove.
Yeah,
they have more to prove. Yeah. They have a lot to lose, you know. And, you know.
I know, like, and then, like, old comic, not the old comics, they're not old, but the successful ones. You know, it could be a young 30-year-old, 25-year-old. Mm-hmm. He's selling out seats. He's successful. I don't give a fuck if that guy's 22. If he's selling out theaters, he's up there with Martin Lawrence to me. Like,
yeah, man.
Mm-hmm. He's like, he's beyond like Angela Johnson when she started blowing up. And that other guy, Mulaney.
John Mulaney.
That guy's, fuck, he sold out two fucking shows in fucking Cleveland when I was there. I can even sell one.
At a theater. Yeah.
Yeah,
man. And, well, you put him up like I was saying now. You put like one of those guys against a young little, like Lisa was saying, a young comic who wants to just roast motherfuckers. That little young fool gonna come up with better jokes. That's not what I'm gonna say, but that boy took me to the next level.
Yeah, bro.
I'm gonna be prolific right now.
Yeah. I'm super lit. I was like trying to talk. I was trying to remember that Ralphie May joke, and I was like, oh yeah, I'm high.
So what's up, fool? So you're not a regular yet, bro?
No, not yet.
Sorry, bro. You got to do their social media, bro.
Well, I mean...
how do they pass people now? Because you used to have showcase for Mitzi in the past.
Well, now,
you did, what, 9 showcases? Yeah. Or
9.
24?
Now it's a really good system at the store for door guys. Like Adam Egett is really doing a really great job when it comes to door guys. Because before it was just like you had Monday potluck and your development spots. And development spots are just whatever they toss you on in the bringer shows or whatever. Whatever independent produced shows they have. And now it's like you get to open up the OR shows during the week, and then you also get to open up the main room shows during the week, and you get more development spots, and you get Monday.
What are the development spots?
It's just like a spot on a show.
But that means they're also going to watch you, right?
Yeah, they're going to be part of this.
Like those shows they have on the main room?
Yeah,
like
the belly room.
Jubilee shows?
Yeah, stuff like that. And then...
Skylar Stone shows?
Every twice a year, about... Adam has a showcase for the door guys, which means all the door guys go up, and then he passes you from that. So that means you, so you know every year you're going to at least showcase twice. So, I mean, it's a better system. We didn't used to have that. So that's one of the main reasons why I still work there, because it's like, if I continue to work there, I still get to do all this development and do all these spots, and I don't have to worry about like not working there and not being a priority or not being having an, like having more of a tougher chance of getting passed. Because it's like, if you don't work there, then you have to go through the regular system, which is just like Adam picks
more of
you.
A cattle call.
It's just like a showcase.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's beneficial for me to work there now. Plus, it's like, you know, I get to go on the road when I do, and you know, I'm.
Your job's always there.
Yeah, my job's always there.
And you got to remember, though, not everybody's getting, not all these door guys are getting picked to go on the road either.
And that's so the other big thing.
That people can see your personality off stage and how you're going to be. Because it's not all about how funny you are.
That's the fucked up part when you're going to come back to the door and look at the other guy like you had a horrible time over there.
Vegas,
it was bad,
dog.
Bro. You gotta tell him. You gotta start off the story. Yeah, what happened, bro? It was good, but like KKK, bro. You know how I feel. Oh yeah. So you gotta tell a sad story for them first.
Exactly. Hey, how were those first theaters? I'm like, it was real tough.
I fucked up my back on that jet.
That's a tough part. People don't understand, bro. You go from fucking hanging up, you know, fucking sharing one meal at Denny's to eating good with Russell Peters.
Getting a watch.
Yeah, it's for me right now, especially these past 2 years, it's been a really weird, it's not weird, but it's interesting for me because it's like I still have to have a job. I still have to pay bills and stuff. But I also get to live this life. I get to see what it's like. You know what I mean? Like, oh, okay, if you work hard, you can do it this way. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like seeing how Joe and Justin like, and all Bert and all those guys do it, it's like, oh, okay. Like I just gotta fucking work hard and like write funny shit.
You gotta work smart too,
Yeah, it's not all about the working hard. And
you gotta be like, if you're on Joe Rogan podcast, it's like being on Oprah.
Oh,
you're gonna sell dimes,
that's
bro.
True, yeah.
You're gonna sell fucking desert, bro, to fucking camels.
Yeah, it's
Have you been on it?
Yeah, I was on right after Roast Battle, and that was like. That ended up doing more for me than winning Roast Battle. It was crazy. I got more followers from that. Rogan's insane. I think Rogan's like the new Carson in a sense. Like, that's the couch.
Yeah, I'm saying like Oprah.
That's the couch, man. That's the couch. So, like, I mean, any show I go to, there's always someone who's like, they know me from Roast Battle, but they've seen me on Rogan. So it's like that's
and they're fat. They're wearing a beanie,
or they could beat me up, and they all want to smoke weed afterwards, which is great.
Yeah, man, I'm kind of tired of people telling me they got the best weed. You don't, bro. I have it, and I'm out.
I have it at home, and I need it on the road.
It's like when you come from California and you go to Indianapolis, like, you're coming from the major leagues, bro. Back to the minor leagues there.
Oh, 100%.
Like sometimes people even apologize right before they give it to me. Listen, man. I know you're used to that Cali shit, man. But this is all we got.
Every time I go and travel somewhere new, there's always someone who's like, I'm always just like, I don't have any weed, and someone's like, I'll help you out, and I'm like, oh sweet, this is perfect. Colorado had great weed. Indianapolis was.
I saw you all happy, bro. Hella happy in Colorado.
Colorado was insane. I spent like $60 and I got. Over half an ounce. It was insane. I was just getting lit the whole fucking time.
Yeah, Colorado has good bud, dude.
Yeah.
That dude in Naples had the best bud that I've smoked on the road in years.
Where were you in Colorado? You did a hotel or a condo?
I stayed with a friend. I had friends out there, and they were like right in the heart of downtown. And like her boyfriend worked at a dispensary, so we just hung out, got stoned. He showed me all around and stuff.
Who are you working with there?
I was working with Bert. Yeah.
Didn't get your hotel, or you just wanted to stay with your friends?
I just wanted to stay with my friends. Yeah. Most of the time, like, I like hotels and stuff, but I'm real weird. Like, I would much rather crash on my friend's couch and just hang out and, like, go out to dinner and do shit.
Hell no.
Smell like the dog, huh?
Yeah, man. I'm such a
cat hair on
guy.
Your shit.
Yeah.
Bark, daddy.
Like, some people like hanging out in the hotel room, and I like that too, but it's also like, I like going out and, like, looking at shit because it's like, you know, I never travel, so it's like,
you just
a big deal.
I think you just do it so you could tell the other door guy who stood home. It was bad.
He didn't even have a blanket for me.
It was all right, bro.
Bert
forgot to get me a room, man. I had to fucking couch surf all week. Yeah. Oh, man. I know you're winning. Hold the ladder for me. No, but it happens, bro. Like, I'm pretty sure, like, Somebody's going to walk up to you one day. You have brand new shoes. Who brought those for you? Rogan, Doug?
Oh, yeah. They've already done that to him.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. This fucking thought this fool brought my truck, dog.
Yeah. It's funny, man. It's funny. I remember one of my favorite, like, days changing the marquee. Ross has this picture. It was the day before the Roast Battle Finals. It was the last day before the finals. And I didn't have anyone to cover my shift. So I had to work it, and I had to change the marquee. So I literally had to change the marquee the day before I went into the finals. So Ross has a picture of me changing the marquee, and then across the street there's the marquee with, like, my name on it and, like, the finals going on, and he was like, oh, this is hilarious.
That's good.
It was a great, great picture.
Yeah, so but you probably get – you probably go out more than other door guys, right, like on the road with these guys? You probably get picked more?
Yeah, they only pick you because you're Mexican, bro.
Yeah, 100%. No, yeah, most of the time. Well, it's also like just because you become a door guy, that's not the only reason people will take you out. Like, you still have to be, like you said, you have to be personal and hang
yeah,
out.
Yeah, it's not – a big part, it doesn't matter how funny you are, and it doesn't matter, like, how much you kiss this guy's ass or whatever. They're going to choose the person who's easier to hang out with on the road.
And that's really what it's
all about.
Stays
out of the way.
Doesn't step on toes.
Ain't going over,
trying to headline.
A lot
of me stories.
Yeah,
100%. And and that was the thing is, like, some, like, that's what I always try to tell, like, some of the other door guys where I was just like, you know, just, like, talk to them, you know? And that's, a lot of us are like, a lot of the door guys sometimes are just nervous because it's like, you know, it's still fucking like Rogan or
someone you're a super fan of.
But it's, you know, you just kind of start talking to them and then, yeah, it's who, you know, just being easy to hang out with, you know? I try to be as chill and low key as possible.
You know? The best way, dude.
100%.
And don't be nice. Like, I didn't know him from heaven or hell. But as soon as I saw him, I'm like, what's up, man?
Yeah.
I know who you are.
Yeah.
I greet everybody, bro. Let me tell you, man, if you're Latino, if you don't greet me when I'm there, I'm going to remember your ass.
I'm the same way. That's so funny.
Because I don't give a fuck, bro. If I'm the only Latino there amongst a crowd of blacks and whites, and if you don't say what's up to me, I'm never going to say hi to you ever. You got to acknowledge me, motherfucker.
Oh, man, it's so funny. I still have such weird tendencies like that, like where I'm just like.
Tendencies?
Well,
his last name Galvez now.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I get like,
but a lot of people like also hate, you know, like there's Mexican comedians who are alternative. Like there's a guy named Ed Galvez, you know, but he's doing his shit on his side. But I'm pretty sure a lot of people are like, oh, fuck that motherfucker trying to be white. But you know, he's not trying to be white. He just didn't grow up like us, dog.
That's how he grew up.
He didn't grow up in the hood. That's his shit, dog. I'm pretty sure, bro, he's down for us.
His experience.
He just gotta go up there and say hello.
Yeah.
You know, a little handshake. What's up, Ed?
Yeah, exactly.
Instead of saying, he over there with the white motherfuckers. Yeah. No, bro.
That's something.
It ain't like that, dog.
That's something I struggle with a lot because I grew up in Eastside San Jose, but I don't sound like my cousins.
Yeah.
I'm not like them at all. So when I moved to Temecula,
where would that be for Buster?
Yeah, Brooklyn Dodgers. So people were just like, you know, they were like, "Oh, you're like Mexican, but not really."
Mexican.
I'm just like, oh, fuck.
No, I'm really Mexican.
Yeah, it was just
categorizing you.
Oh, you were that Mexican.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Your name is Dennis.
Yeah,
Dennis.
But it's like some people just, you know, they're still Mexican. They're just raised different.
I know, man. Like what Rodrigo said, man, we don't care where if you look like Canelo or if you look like Tyson. If you're gonna be down. That's it,
man.
I'm pretty sure, man. If she were to go down, even like if a person didn't grow up in our hood, I'm pretty sure he'd be the first motherfucker to step up hard.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I was one time I was being heckled in Florida, and I thought I was the only Mexican up there, right? Some little black fool was flipping me off, and I told him, "Oh, you want two fingers up your ass? Okay, I see. I thought you wanted one up your ass." Because he was flipping me off. So that I went like this. So you want two fingers up your ass? Then everybody started laughing. He goes, "How many do you want?" And I was going like that. And he came charging at me, bro, like a wild man. And right away, three Bolivians stood up, bro, who I thought were white. He goes, nah, coño. You got to stay back, homie. Shit.
Oh.
Little pockets of all Latinos started standing up, bro. Like, oh, yeah.
Oh, we're captain, here. My captain.
I forgot to tell you, thank you for suggesting that place to get married.
I was just thinking about it in my head.
Yeah, me and my girl are, we're going to get, we rented that place. We're going to get married.
Oh, good.
Yeah,
yeah. Congratulations.
You just do our wedding.
Nice. Absolutely. It's a great spot. I love it.
He doesn't need any decorations.
He doesn't need no decorations, bro.
Yeah.
You have all the lighting.
Yeah.
And It'll be a good tax write off if you're into that stuff.
Oh, yeah. Because
of the, well, know, also the money goes to the arts the programs art and stuff like that. Yeah. Instead of just
this is one of the main pocket reasons we did it.
Yeah. Man, if anybody out there, man, you want to get married, man? The, what's the name of it?
Oh God, it's I'm so high right now.
Eagle Rock. It's the Eagle Rock Arts. I think it's called the Eagle Rock Arts Center.
Yeah, bro. Called, you can Colorado. Fucking have that shit catered by Tommy Cheeseburger right across the street.
Yeah, I think we're going to do an In-N-Out truck.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Awesome.
We were thinking, I was thinking about a truck sort
if you
of wanna,
thing. I know another, I don't know if you have vegan friends, but I know some people that show up and have a vegan taco stand.
Ooh. All right.
Yeah.
Shout out to Organics LA.
Mm. No, they don't do catering anymore, but Plant Food for People do.
Plant Food for the People. Veganitos,
and
shout
Vegatinos
out. Give a shout out to the people that Vegatino, hooked us up.
Yeah, Vegatinos, by the way, they made the bombest birria. And what else
jackfruit,
did they have?
Bro.
Tamale. Ooh. They had those Guatemalan birria? Tamales. Mm-hmm.
But it was not made with goat.
It was made with jackfruit, but the recipe is all the same because the guy is from Guadalajara, and he said, this is my family recipe. Did you taste any of it?
No.
I was busy. Oh, yeah. It was in that room for hours, but they had it on some warming trays. It was good, man. And East of the River came in and ate. Everybody ate. They loved it.
East of the River.
Only
bro.
One of those people was vegan. Bro. They loved it.
I never... Frank, you know what happened to you guys, man, when you first started Hollywood? And like you say, you jump into anything you want to do, bro. When I was working at Waldo's Comedy Station, that's where I met Johnny Sanchez. Mm-hmm. I met Willie Barcena, Carlos Oscar. This was before Latino Night. Some motherfucker, bro, convinced me to join his comedy troupe.
improv group, right?
Improv group, bro. And we would meet every Saturday, bro. And all the food would be dressed like, we were going to do like a cat burglar. And they were dressed in black all the time. And then it goes, I didn't want to dress like them because they were all idiots. But it was funny, man. We were really practicing sketches in the park with a bunch of homeless people, bro. And I was embarrassed, bro, because I'm not, like, I'm not shy. I'm good at stand-up, but I'm pretty good into the nerd of stand-up. But to do, like, perform in front of another performer, I wasn't ready, right? And that fool name killed me, bro.
The group name.
You know how you have improv name? Guess what our name was?
Gulliver's Travels.
We were the Hollywood Schizos.
Whoa.
But schizos like skits.
I never told anybody. Schizos.
That's funny.
That's great. But that's a great improv.
Oh, my God, dude. But
performing in the park like that, I
everybody
say
was
title.
Crazy. One of the guys that was in our group, his claim to fame was he was that first cop that got killed in Terminator 2.
that's a great
that
credit,
was a mad
by the
credit.
Way.
His name is Tennessee Tuxedo or whatever.
Bro. Oh, yeah.
You know him? He's from the TikTok show.
Yes, I do know him.
Yes.
He's fucking so weird.
I was in a sketch group with him and three other crazy guys.
Oh my God. Are you sure you just weren't like in like they weren't just practicing for the Ding Dong show and you just showed up to like a Ding Dong practice?
Wow, imagine dog.
Damn, he said these fools were crazy, and it's like, goddamn, this fool clicked on it.
Yeah, he's part of the Ding Dong show. Yo,
all those fools are crazy, no?
Yeah, they all might just, they were all just schizophrenic.
But yeah, man, they're on the verge of craziness. Man, the Ding Dong show, one of the guys, they got with an American Most Wanted, bro.
What?
One of the guys, if you ever talk to Don Barris, ask him, in the early 2000s, late 90s, there was a story about a kid that was molested when he was like 12 or 11 years old by a man. And then later on, he was molested again, bro. Like they drugged him and his homies, and they had sex with him. And then this fool called him up and told him that, yeah, man, I was thinking about you. Let's meet up somewhere. And he got the guy to admit molesting him as a 12-year-old and then as an adult on tape. And got
that
fool arrested.
Shit.
And they did a fucking story about him. And they had a picture of him with a Ding Dong show.
Oh, my
God.
That
was him, fool?
He was in the Ding Dong show. But now he was not the guy I was working with. But the guy that was arrested for molestation was in a Ding Dong show.
Damn.
Oh, hell no. That's crazy.
That's nuts, man.
And they interviewed Don Barris, you know. Wow, the guy was a great performer. And
he's all having him up. Huh?
Well, he was always on time.
We still do a show.
Never had a problem with him.
Oh, real nice guy to hang out with, you know, out of the way.
Who was some Bob Hope?
What's some Bob Hope?
Child Molester from the Ding Dong Show.
But that those songs he just does at the end of the show are fucking real good.
Yeah. Child Molester from the Ding Dong Show.
I've had some of the best... like working late at night in the OR, especially on potluck, Don will go up at the night, at the end of the night. It was just, I've had, like, those have just been some of the most memorable nights. We're just seeing Don get into trouble or just see him fuck with the crowd or like him doing like the band at the end of the night. Dude, there's been a few nights where like, I've gotten so hammered that I'm just like, wow, what happened? And like my friend will text me pictures of me just with my shirt off playing guitar in the band. And I'm like, oh my God, it's a good old time.
I remember hanging down the back. I think, I don't know if you were there, and Don Barrett had a brand new bow and he told somebody to hold it and don't break it. But as soon as he walked away, man, he didn't even walk away far enough to hear it fall. It fell. It broke, dude. We had no bow.
That's the worst when you're trying to get stoned and no one has a lighter or someone breaks the bowl.
So many people now want to get into a comedy store just because they have weed, huh?
Yeah, that's the biggest thing is people in the back. Yeah, they're just like, oh, I got some weed. Can you give this to – I've had – Shafir does this on his podcast. He'll do this thing called give a door guy a nug. He'll like give a nug to a door guy program is what he calls it. So there'll be times – I remember like working at the store and just be chilling and someone will be like – here you go, and just give me weed. I'm like, what the fuck? And they're just like, Ari says hello. And I'm like, oh my God, thank you so much, Ari Shafir. But yeah, people always try to go and sneak in the back and smoke weed because that's where everyone hangs out to smoke weed.
What's up with that new Red Room?
The back bar?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like the private headliners bar.
When did that open up?
That opened up, I think, about a year ago, maybe. It's pretty sweet. It's nice. It is. Chappelle loves it. He'll go and like, you know, just chill in the back and like run it out. And it's also nice because like no one, you know, the security usually keeps it pretty tight and doesn't let anyone else go back there. So
who gets to go back there?
Headliners and then just like, you know, their guests, paid regulars, employees. And then like if someone big comes back, they usually like shut it down and make sure no one else goes back there. You know, they want to keep it for you guys to, you know, hang out and smoke weed and chill.
Chappelle rents it out?
Sometimes I think when he does like his specials, he'll like ran out the back and just to make sure no one else comes.
Say nobody can come back.
Yeah, exactly. But also, like, because, dude, like, working there, like, people just sneak back there. Like, it's crazy. Like, open micers or people that are fans. Yeah. Like, I've just been walking back there and some guy will just, like, walk back and I'm like, hey, and he'll just be talking to, like, Bill Burr. I'm like, oh, is this, like, Bill Burr's friend? And they're like, no, he just walked back here. I'm like, get the fuck out of here. Some kid just, like, oh my God, I just walked in the back and all of my heroes were there.
I just pulled a Rodrigo. Some of the
podcast listeners, I mean, just because they've been listening since day one, they feel they have a right to walk in there.
Yeah, 100%.
You will get clotheslined.
Oh, yeah.
Trying to walk up to Joe Rogan, you know him?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I get it.
Surprise the motherfucker.
The best is to be undetected.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want to be there.
I've always seen tell people, man, you want to go see free shows, just tell everybody you're open micer.
100%.
I want to learn.
Yeah. That's the one thing is like, that's one thing I like the store is that if there's room in the back, they'll still let comics come in and watch. Because that's, you know, the whole thing of the store is it's still kind of an artist colony where young comics can go and still do stand-up. Although now at the open mics, there's like 120 people signing up for 16 spots every week.
People who woke up and decided, I'm funny, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Tell people how, tell listen, because we have some listeners who, yeah, the process these days of how to start in comedy, because a lot of people hit up Felipe asking for, like, I don't know how to start. And we try to explain the open mic system, but every club's different. So how does the comedy store work?
Well, I think if you're trying to go to the comedy store for your first time, don't do that. That's like the worst thing you could possibly do.
Come as a customer, pay.
Yeah, exactly. Come as a customer, pay, hang out, watch it. Watch the open mic, see what it is, because what people will do is, people come and sign up for the open mic and you get to, if you get picked, you get to go up in front of the, you know, coordinator. And it's like, that's the first time he sees you and he'll kind of, you know, either remember you as being funny or remember you as not being funny and not want to put you up. Yeah. So it's like, first impressions are always big. Hit up all the mics you can, like write, you know what I mean? Like everyone's always afraid to do the work and the work is sitting down and writing. You know what I mean?
How much should you come with your very first open mic? If you get chosen or you want your...
Well,
preparing to get chosen.
3 minutes. There's only it's a 2 minute light, but just have like a few jokes and also because a lot of it is like, dude, I remember the first like for me it was like I'm pretty shy, so like the first 5 years was still me just getting confident enough in myself, and then it took me winning roast battle to be like, oh, I am funny.
And it might not be the jokes at first. It might be just
it's just
delivery
your performance,
and your
delivery, because it's still talking in front of people. Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. It's still just talking in front of people. So it's like, you know, be prepared to fail, prepare to suck. Cause if you're not sucking, you're not doing a good job, but you'll get to a point where you're just better, you know, but also constantly, keep working, getting better, going to mics. The more times you hit the stage, the better you will just be. So it's like, no matter, you know, everyone's always like, ah, I'm so scared to get into that first one. But it's like, nah, you just got to do that first one and then you're going to eat it. And then be like, oh, okay, this is what this feels like. And then you just constantly keep doing it.
And don't bring anybody you know.
Don't bring anybody you know. Don't tell anybody.
Don't keep tell it anybody secret. For a while.
It's a big bad with a little bit inside. Oh, no.
Can we smoke this here or is this? Nah. No? Okay.
I don't know. Could we? No.
I wouldn't do it.
No. Okay, cool. I don't want to be that guy.
We have Miklo outside.
My son's Miklo. Outside. Oh. The vape will disappear.
Hilarious. Yeah.
That's one thing about the vape. It's just like, it's not like burning leaf. Huh?
Right. I mean, you can still smell it. But
I rewatched Blood in, Blood Out. Oh my God!
We had
so
Miklo
good.
On the show.
We had Miklo on the show.
No way!
Yes, we were lucky to have him.
Oh my God!
He broke it down, bro. And
he basically American Me and Blood in, Blood Out are the same movie.
The same script.
Torn in half
because the original American Me before it was American Me before Blood in Out, it was like a whole saga.
Oh my God!
So it was just almost took the one side of version of the Mexican version of it. It's like the gospel, bro.
Yeah, yeah, 100%.
There's different gospels.
I had a joke about how it was like Blood and Blood Out and American Me was like the first and Old Testament, or the New and Old Testament for Mexicans.
Yeah. You should listen to that episode. Go back and listen to it because he talks about it. Because I think it ended up being 3 and some hours, it would have been like a 6-hour movie.
Blood and Blood Out was cut down to like 3.5 hours, but it was like a 6-hour movie.
Oh my God. It was such a great movie.
And it was produced by Disney.
Yeah.
Really?
Taylor Hackford for Disney.
You know, they like movies with character, Dopey, Sleepy, Miklo. But really, it was a Disney movie.
Yeah. That was such a good movie. I mean, and I made my fiance watch it, and she was just like, all right. And, like, I love that. Shot Caller was great. But American Me, like, my dad, like, we just quote American Me and Blood and Blood Out all the time. That was, like, I remember being a kid and, like, all of my family sitting down to watch American Me.
That's funny.
Yeah.
What you doing holidays, bro?
I think I'm gonna introduce Isaac to Blood In, Blood Out.
Oh, absolutely.
Soon he can watch
it. It's not hardcore like American Me, man.
No, dude,
American Me when that knife comes out, but it's serious.
Oh bro, that's crazy.
Well, him having sex with her the first time too is all weird.
Yeah, that was also
not
you're
knowing,
just like,
oh, like, what's the, yeah. Like, I'll just turn her over like one of my cellies.
I remember I was talking to my cousin, and my cousin's been to prison, and I was talking to him, and this is how, like, I guess, like, ignorant I was about it, but I was just like, oh, that's so funny. They just had like an Asian guy in a Mexican gang. And I was like, it was just poor casting. He's like, no, that's how what they had, like, multiracial people in gangs back then. I was like, really? He was like, yeah, there was this dude named Green Eyes when I was in prison, and he was just a black guy and it was rolling with us Mexicans. And I remember when he first showed up, I was like, who the fuck's this guy? And they're like, no, he's cool, he's fine, he's with us. And they're like, oh. And I was like, oh. And then I realized, like, yeah, black guys can also be in this gang. And I was like, oh, that's hilarious.
Yeah, Felipe, well, the projects where he grew up, everybody, it was mixed with black and Mexican.
Right? Yeah, there was Vietnamese, blacks, and Mexicans in that one gang.
Yeah.
And those guys in prison were, it was the Mexicans.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they didn't go to the other side.
No, yeah, he had to. That was, my cousin said the hardest part about him going to prison was that he had to pick, you know what I mean? Because he was like, he grew up with his best friend being a black guy, you know what I mean? And that was his best friend his whole life. So when he went to prison, it was so tough for him to, like, not hang out with black people or to be, like, you know, just only be with, like, Mexicans and stuff. So then when he got out, he actually was, like, not talking to his friend at all and stuff. So his friend was like, what the fuck, man? And he was just like, oh, shit. So he had to, like,
change his mentality.
Yeah, change his mentality out of it.
Crazy. Yeah, man, the politics in there is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah, man. So what you got? What show do you got coming up?
I'm actually going to be in Tokyo for the roast battle out there. They have they have like a small little
badass, dude.
Yeah, they have a small little room, and then they have a bunch of other rooms that I'm going to be doing stand up at. So it's my first time out of the country, so I'm really excited. And then I got some shows around here, but that's like the biggest one that's coming up.
Who are you going with?
It's just me.
Tokyo?
Yeah,
it's the roast battle.
Yeah, they're having me go out do judge and stuff. It's not part of the Comedy Central one. It's just like there's a room, they do a roast battle, like people from Europe and all that come out and do it. And I guess they have a big expat community.
Yeah,
I had no idea.
See those shows.
When are you going to do that?
Middle of May.
Get me a giant flying robot shirt.
I will.
Double extra large.
Absolutely.
You know who Flying Robot is, right?
Yeah, that's the
Johnny Sacco.
Yep. Johnny Sacco.
Yeah.
I know the theme song. Giant Robot, don't go, please.
And then I think I'm in Indianapolis in August for a festival. And, yeah, I mean, you can catch me on FrancCastillo.com, I think is my website. I'm so high right now. But I post all my dates on my Instagram.
Yeah. Frank Castillo.
Frank Castillo. Mm-hmm.
What's your process when you're writing for the roast battle? Like, do you have a certain process that's different than writing other jokes?
Nah, I turn into like a serial killer. I study.
Attack mode?
Yeah, I study them. Like, I listen to podcasts, I talk to them, I interview them, like, I ask them questions and stuff. Then I put their pictures on my wall, and then I'll write out like premises, and then I'll do like looks like jokes. And then I'll do like thing, and then I'll slowly move them as I like write newer things and like make it out and stuff.
I worked on a show. That's funny. The process that when I was working on a show called I was working with Ada Rodriguez.
Oh yeah,
we followed a Dominican couple and a Puerto Rican couple, and they were gonna marry each other.
Mm-hmm.
So we got to know the whole family, because at the end of the wedding, we were gonna roast them at the wedding.
Mm-hmm.
That was part of the show.
It was called a wedding zinger.
Wedding Ooh. Zinger. So I got to know their whole family secrets. And I took a bunch of notes because I was going to roast everybody. And then we got to know everybody. I hung out with the girls. I hung out with the guys. And we had all their photos. And when we were looking for jokes, all right, what do we got? Abuelita right here. She's an old ass bitch, you know. At first, just throw anything, bro.
Yeah, 100%.
She gets something funny. And then we had everybody, bro, but I wrote some good shit. But then the guy, I hope they're not listening, he got caught cheating, bro, during the fucking show.
So during the show?
I was ready, bro, to roast that fool about getting caught cheating, because that fool on a motorcycle with another chick, and those chicks were fucking chasing that fool in the car while he was in a motorcycle.
Holy shit. None of that made it to the episode, but it was like really happening behind the scenes.
Did anyone...
And I think they were thinking of not getting married, right? That was like a...
Oh my God. Did she ever find out?
And then...
But they went through the wedding.
The girl was getting married. She had a sister that was the same age, bro, from another lady. So it was weird, you know, because the dad was there and she was getting married. His daughter was getting married, but he has another daughter who's the same age. And then that girl has two other daughters. So they have like, she has a sister.
Where is this, Alabama?
She has two older sisters.
Jersey.
And a sister who could be a twin from another, a stepsister who's the same age as her. They were all at the
half sister, yeah.
So when I was up there, I said, "Man, we got Carlos Figueroa right here. Wow, I'm surprised he's here. We have his daughters right here. His daughter from his other lady, and his other baby mama's daughter's over there, and I'm his son." And everybody died, bro, because they motherfucker the player.
Johnny Appleseed over here.
Thought they would have whooped my ass, dog.
Johnny Appleseed.
So I had to roast them, bro, but they were not expecting that.
Yeah.
But the show didn't get picked up.
Oh.
Yeah,
but I still got to go to Jersey.
Fuck yeah, man.
But the process was the same. We put their photos up, mm-hmm. and just wrote a bunch of jokes, bro. Yeah. A bunch of them, and just see which one's funny. But when you did the Comedy Central, they approve your jokes, or you decided what jokes are good?
Yeah,
for the finals, they were like, they gave us like some extra cash. They're like, if you, because also some of the people there like had just, this is the first time they did roast battle. So they were like, they wanted to make sure the show was good. So like, if you have anyone helping you, or if you want people to help you, like, here's some extra money to give to them. So
that's badass right there.
Yeah, that was smart for them, I think. So I had my boys, Pat Barker, Jay Light, and Dan Nolan, and we all sat together, and we just like, we all like worked and wrote, and like I dictated, like I was like, this is what I think we should do. And then like we put it together. And then at the finals, they had to send them all of our jokes, and just so they can approve them. And then they were like, you know, which ones are good, which ones are not. Not which ones are good, which ones are not, but what we can say, what we can't say.
It was more for legal clearance, right?
More for legal clearance.
Products,
yeah.
Defaming anybody.
Yeah, the funniest thing that happened was during the finals, remember the SNL thing happened with that writer who made fun of Trump's kid?
Yeah.
And then she got fired?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that happened, and my boy Dan Nolan is like, hey, you should do this joke that I wrote. And I looked at him, and I was like, I don't know, man. He was like, no, you should do this joke because I think it's perfect. And I was
you
like,
all right.
And I did it, and it was the best joke. And a Republican blog picked it up and wrote about it, because they said, they're like, this is how you write a joke. They're like, this is how you write a joke making fun of Trump without making fun of Trump. And then like they compared the two, they like the SNL joke and then this joke. And the joke that he wrote was Anna could pass for a Trump. She's got the body of Ivanka, the brains of Melania, and her womb is barren. And it's just, you know, just a play on words and stuff, but they like loved it. And like after that, the County Center came down, they're like, all right, if you guys can, please no more Barron Trump jokes. And we're just like, oh, I was like, are you saying we can't make those jokes or that like we shouldn't? And they're like, we're just asking you guys politely to not. And we're like, oh, okay. I was like, oh shit, that's crazy.
Weak.
Shit's serious.
Yeah, man. I was like, hey, you got one in. That's great.
What you got coming up, bro? Dinner?
Lunch.
Any shows?
The 28th in April, though. That's over there at East Slappers.
He says starting a new podcast called the There She Goes Podcast.
No.
No? There you go.
No, I was going to start a podcast. But I'm
after,
not sure.
After Rizopedia, you heard of Rizopedia? What a Listopedia.
Yeah, I'll just post all the questions everybody asks me when they could Google them because I have a text full of questions.
We're
going to
do enchilada casserole because people have been asking me on the road.
People keep asking for enchilada casserole. We're just so busy. But also,
we got two rabbits now.
I know. We got another rabbit. Nice. Rescued.
We have
so
a new
awesome.
Rabbit, bro, Grover.
I just wanted to give another shout out to Vapex Hale. That's VAPEXHALE.com. Use promo code FOOL, FOOL, at checkout. And you can get 10% off. That's just like a bong vaporizer in one. Like, doesn't exist anywhere else.
I think they should give us one, man. Vape Exhale. It's good. Even Megan got a contact high over there.
Megan? You mean Emma?
Emma. What did I say, Megan? I'm sorry. I'm
like, who's Megan?
Here. Courtney. Oh, man. I just want to say, bro, before you go, bro.
What's up, dog?
I fucking love the Mike Tyson mysteries.
It's the best show.
So great, right?
Fucking hilarious, man.
So funny.
Well, Mike Tyson doesn't even have to act. He's acting like himself. Like, he says shit that I would say in a meeting, bro. Like, what this guy
says. He says shit that you have said in meetings.
All right. Like, he goes. That fool like this, man, they're talking to him, and he don't know what they're saying. He was taking notes. He going, all right. Oh, yeah? All right. Then he goes, give him a second to talk about this. I was like, yo, man, I don't know what the fuck he said. Get the fuck out of here, man.
Yeah, he says, yeah, I didn't understand one word of that shit, so I propose we get the fuck out of here.
Is that how it is in the meetings?
Felipe, sometimes in meetings when I hear these people with buzzwords or like, we need some ramp up time. Oh, we're going to circle back and all these buzzwords, you know, corporate words and stuff. And Felipe, I could just see this glossed over look like I'm not paying attention because they lost me with all this speak, like all the stuff they're used to saying around the office or in emails to other agents and stuff. They'll use it in the meetings. He hates meetings that don't go anywhere. Meetings that
I had meeting an agent just for drinks after we're not going to talk about nothing.
Didn't do that. He didn't like to hang out. He didn't want any of that. So all these people try to get in their foot in the door with like, let's hang out, let's have a drink. Like, he doesn't do any of that. So not going to meet with you. And then when you are his agent, he still doesn't want to hang out and have dinner or lunch or drinks unless it's going to lead to something. Do we really need to discuss something? But it's like watching Mike Tyson mysteries. It's like watching Felipe.
Let's not waste your percentage on a dinner on me.
That's true too.
That's so.
Yeah, man. Because lately, we were talking before the show with Fraser Smith. I sold out 4 shows at the Novo Theater.
Nice.
6,500 people. LA represented.
Hell yeah.
And now, so all these motherfuckers hitting me up, bro. All we've been big fans. UTA.
A lot of agents.
Oh, yeah. So what are they trying to just...
Swoop, bro. You know, poaching.
Trying to sign you to something.
Because you know agents don't help people who need the help.
No, of course not.
Ain't nobody knocking at your door right now.
Oh, well, 100%. But
they'll wait until
but they should,
already,
though. Yeah. I'm not saying that they shouldn't. But they should. They should be knocking your fucking door right now.
Yeah, I got a manager after Rose Battle. This is how crazy it was getting a manager for me. Like, it was like confetti was falling. They handed me the trophy, and then I got like a tap on my shoulder, and they were like, "This is who we represent." They're like, "This is who we represent." We'll have a meeting. We'll give you guys a call. I was like, "Oh, you don't have my number." They're like, "We'll get it," and they just left. And I was like, "This is fucking creepy."
Yeah.
And then a bunch of people hit me up, and then but agents are just different. They're tougher to get a hold of, and.
Yeah, managers are easy, but once you get an agent, dump the manager. Yeah. Unless you really, I mean, honestly.
Yeah, it's not to say that, but once you get an agent, they're going to handle you across the board. They say the big agencies, like, they're going to handle your special appearance. They're going to handle your acting, your development. They're going to handle your voiceover. They're going to handle your literary. Yeah. If you want to write something, pretty much what is the match you're going to do? Yeah, man. Be your best friend.
Well, yeah. I mean, some people do need direction and do need that manager. But mm-hmm. if you really, you already know what direction you want to go, mm-hmm. just go for the person who can book you.
I just need a young agent. Though. Yeah. I love my manager. He's great.
Yeah. Yep. Agents are tough, but they will not touch you until you're making a certain amount of money.
Exactly. Yep.
And then they start hearing stuff and, oh, we have been fans since the beginning. Really?
Yeah. 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 I have Freddie Soto's old manager.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah.
Worthy Patterson?
Jeff Chetty.
Oh. Jeff Chetty.
No, Jeff Chetty.
Sounds like cheddar.
Cheddar. Yeah.
What's up, fool? Okay. All right. I told you guys we're going to be at this week.
Yeah, man.
But where am I coming back to?
Huh?
Liberty Live, right? In October.
Oh, in Oxnard? No, in West Nyack.
West Nyack.
In West Nyack in October.
What's up, Rodrigo? Got that wave going and shit?
Yeah, man. Letting it grow, dude.
Give some Joey Coco.
You know what I'm saying, cocksuckers? It's time for you guys to start checking out the Yeah Man podcast, episode 37 with Elvis Cortez from the Transplants. Have a wonderful year.
I give a little rant about people getting passed for doing social media.
Well, one thing you guys got to work on, guys, is the social media game at this club. And
do Joey Cole doing it.
Yeah, oh, like, who's on?
Who the fuck was that?
I don't know.
Yeah, I was like,
give me another name. I was like,
Joey Cole did a rant about people getting passed for being social media.
Let me tell you something right now, cocksock. Grab that fucking phone and hit yourself in the fucking head with it. Have a good day.
What's up with a little short rant there? It's a sentence, but we'll take it. What's up, fool? Rodrigo Torres right here. Frank Castillo, check him out at Frank Castillo on Instagram. Lisa right here, Sparza, getting ready to start her own podcast. There She Go podcast.
I think I'm going
to
call it Girl School.
Ooh, that's nice.
Like the old B movies, you know.
So sexy. Girl School with the X. What's up, fool?